Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It's August 6, 2015, and today we're going to be talking a little more about some meditation techniques. More information I wanted to give you about that on performance meditations for athletes, and also, and then I know, Michelle, you requested talking about confidence. So next time, so this is kind of a special call. I thought I'd do another one today since there were five Thursdays in July, so I didn't want to go too long without a call here, so we're doing an extra one today, and then we'll have another one next week on August 13th and then August 27th, and we can talk about self-confidence, you know, that you requested, Michelle, and anyone that has a topic that you want of interest that you'd like to talk about, feel free to let me know on the call here or by email, and yeah, we'll definitely include your topics because I want to do topics that you're interested in and that are relevant to you. So, you know, we always do these calls on the second and fourth Thursday of the month at 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 Eastern, and then another special one today. So, yeah, great. So I was going to give you a little bit more information. So thank you for that question about the assessment. So I'll send that out to everyone later today. And then... I know, before we get started with the meditation, I know, Adriana, you had a question. Do you want to ask your question there?
I just had a question with an athlete regarding anxiety.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if, what I can do as far as, like, what is acceptable, because it's almost, it seems like she's had episodes that keep reoccurring, and she needs probably just grounding techniques and more specialized. But as far as what I could offer, I wasn't sure exactly, like, how to word it or, you know, this is what I can do. But if it's really extreme, you should seek, like, specialized help.
Yeah, that's a good question. Is it one of your weightlifting clients?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, I would ask first, you know, the extent of the anxiety. And just as a general rule, yeah, it's a good question to ask, and most of our clients have some form of anxiety, whether it's, you know, performance anxiety related specifically to sports or whether it's generalized, you know, that's one of the most common questions that athletes come to you for. And if you are a licensed psychologist, like I know some of you are, like Dave, I know you are, then and you're trained in that area, dealing with, of course, you are with military extreme anxiety and PTSD and all that, then, you know, you go ahead and treat the client as you would, you know, for anxiety under that training. And if you've not been, you know, if you're not a licensed psychologist or therapist, then you can still work with anxiety, just it just depends on the extent of it. If it's really extreme, you know, like panic disorders or the person's having been hospitalized or that kind of thing, then you may want to refer the person also to a licensed psychologist or marriage family therapist to work on that part. But you could still continue to work with the client on the sports side of things. Sometimes if someone is, you know, extremely anxious and they get to the point where they can't function on a daily basis, then, you know, they might need to be referred for medication. In that case, you could refer them to a psychiatrist that, you know, works with sports that could work with medication. Or now licensed psychologists can also work with some choose to specialize in that area of medication too, and so you can refer to them. So that might help in you know, extreme cases. I like to try to work with psychological techniques first and see if that will help. But you could ask first, you know, kind of some assessing questions. Like, you know, how long have you had the anxiety, and what? How often does that happen? Has it been more than 6 months? And in what situations does it happen? If it's just in sports, the area, then that's something you could work with. If it's throughout their life and every situation, then you know, you might want to. That might be something to you know, refer to a specialist for. Sometimes people have anxiety, specific kinds of anxieties, like a you know, fear of heights or fear of being with people, fear of you know, the fear of specific things like being, like with weight. You know, let's say in boxing or those kind of sports, fear of being hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, football, or, you know, contact sports, or if you're, you know, being hurt, or having, you know, I mean, football players get, you know, traumatic brain injury, that kind of thing. People I work with, equestrians who've fallen off their horses, and they have that fear of falling off the horse, which is completely normal and natural to have that fear if you've actually fallen off a horse. And so you can, you know, that's definitely something that in sports psychology you can work with to help give them confidence to getting back to that. But if you, so those are some kind of assessing questions to ask first. And if you're not sure, you know, where the client's at, you can, you know, always ask me, send me an email or ask on this call. That's the great thing about these calls is we can check in by, you know, about clients you're not sure about or feeling stuck with. And so it's always good to, if you feel like somebody's really out of control,
mm-hmm.
to have another treating person, too, also that they can go to so that you're not the only one, so you're not feeling totally responsible for this person. And also it's good to just have them checked out by a general MD. There may be a nutrition issue or it may be
mm-hmm.
A medical issue that they have that's maybe contributing to anxiety. Like, you know, someone, often athletes, if they're in a sport that requires them to be very thin or low weight, then they could get into, you know, eating disorder issues. If they're anorexic, a lot of women, especially in sports like running and horse riding, equestrian, and swimming, and a lot of those kinds of sports, sometimes people tend to get obsessed with eating disorders and losing weight, and that can cause, you know, low blood pressure and issue, and that can, and extreme anxiety can happen because they're not getting enough nutrition and worrying too much about their weight. So those are good questions to ask also.
She told me specifically, like, what it's from and, like, reoccurring situations outside her life, outside sports, so that's why.
She does have or does not have?
It is outside sports. So
uh-huh.
It's, like, reoccurring situation, like her friend died all of a sudden. She's scared of, like, going on a plane because of terrorism attacks. So it's, like, a lot of little things that, I don't know, like the one in a million type scenarios.
That she worries about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another, so that's a good thing to ask what situations it happens in, and then ask also what, how does it affect your life? So ask her, does it then keep her from doing the things she wants to do? Have you,
mm-hmm.
Do you ask her that?
No, she just says that she just doesn't want it to go into her sports career, like where it starts affecting her.
Yeah. So, yeah, it sounds like, have you asked, has she gotten, you know, it's important to ask with anxiety if they've gotten to the point of panic attacks where.
Okay.
What's that?
I just agreed. I haven't asked that yet.
Okay, so and panic attacks, some people might not know what that involves, but just say, you know, an anxiety is something where you're sort of worried about one specific area or one system in the body is affected, like a, you know, like your heart rate is up or you have muscle tension or something is... you know, one part of the, you got one stress system in the body that's kind of overreacting. A panic attack
mm-hmm.
is more where a lot of systems are overreacting, so you're breathing, you know, really shallow and might be heart rate that's real high and blood pressure's high and everything is real extreme to the point where people can faint. Actually, you could actually pass out or faint because you're not getting enough oxygen, kind of thing. And so it's good to ask that if she's had a panic attack or ever fainted or not been able to function at all, kind of thing. If that's the case, that'd be good to refer to a doctor to see an MD to figure out if she's, or a psychiatrist to figure out if there's something else that could help with that, kind of thing. And then, but for the actual sports part, you ask her, how does it affect her sports? Like, she's doing weightlifting, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So then ask, this is a good question, I think, Adriana, for everyone, because it's good to ask if they have anxiety, which a lot of athletes do, ask, you know, what parts of their life it affects outside of sports first, and then within sports, sometimes it affects their sport a little bit as well. And if you can work with them, the part of the anxiety that affects their sports performance, then that can really help to reduce the anxiety that happens in their life, too. It has a really good positive effect there. So is that, I heard the thing, maybe that's Michelle coming on again, or do we have anyone new coming on? joining us. Yeah, Dave, are you there too? I don't know if Dave is there because he was he does a lot of work.
I'm here.
Oh, good. Yeah, I know you do a lot of work with anxiety, panic attacks, or you have with the military, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's good to pinpoint the specifics, like what specific is, you know, what's the specific anxiety, what's driving it, you know, and I think the main thing is just kind of being active and coming up with some tools to, to help so it doesn't creep into her sport. But the reality is if she's not taking care of it, it's going to. So it's worth the effort putting some time into getting a handle on it, so then, you know, because sooner or later these things don't always just stay compartmentalized, and it's always good to, more attack it in that way rather than think it'll just go away.
Yeah,
yeah,
and some of the things you, thank you, Dave, and some of the things you can do for anxiety as a in sports psychology, or let's say with their sport, with weightlifting, in your case, Adriana, or any other sport, just have them imagine that. Have them imagine just do some relaxation first, some deep breathing, and then have first have them kind of draw, say list 5 to 10 different situations from least stressful to the most stressful. So let's say in running, I might have an athlete, list out, five things that the least stressful would be. Maybe they get to the race a little bit late or something and don't have enough time to warm up. And then something that's more stressful might be that they're having a hard time at the, with their negative thoughts, getting ready for the race. And one of the most stressful things, say maybe the top level might be right at the starting line. That's when people are most stressful, right? Just as their event's about to begin, And then you take them through each one of those. Maybe just the least stressful situation. First, have them imagine that, and they may feel a little bit of anxiety, and then just do more relaxation and breathing and being able to be with that situation, imagine it in their mind, and be able to relax and relax through it. And then, maybe do that the first session, and the second session go through the next most stressful situation with them and imagine that in their mind, and then be able to relax and just be there with that and get used to being in that situation, and maybe give the athlete some coping techniques, you know, things that they could do there, like saying some power words or positive affirmations that you create for them or that they mm-hmm. you create together to say, you know, just saying words like, I'm going to be okay. If they're worried about another competitor, which is really common, then they could say things like, I can handle this. The other competitor, they put on their pants one leg at a time, just like I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just making instead of making that other person into this big formidable competitor. You know, just seeing the other person as just a human being, just like I am, and saying, you know, just like saying a little phrase like, just like me, this other person's just trying to struggles and is trying to do their best as well, or we can all help each other do our best. Those kind of things, so that they don't see the other competitors as really so threatening. So those kinds of things, and like you said, grounding techniques, Adriana.
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking of in terms of grounding techniques you might use?
Oh, I was like, make sure that you, like, basically squeeze your muscles, concentrate, you know, go through the whole body. Those are a few that I've read over when she asked me, so I've researched them. But,
yeah.
Didn't really be in depth of them.
Yeah, and then the meditation techniques we've talked about this last time are can be good as well, really good for anxiety, just being able to be there. Just breathe and do a mantra type meditation where you just say one phrase over and over again. Say everything's going to turn out just fine. That's a very calming one. Just saying everything's going to turn out just fine. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. You can, you know, that applies to everything. I can do well in any situation. I do well in any situation. Or just a word like calm or relax or smooth. Those kind of things can help. Just saying that one word over and over again, and it's okay, I can do this. It's okay, I can do this. You know, just repeating that can have a with each breath, each time that you breathe in, say that phrase, and it's it has a really calming technique. Or you could have them go to a scene. You know, visualize a time when they were, you know, at their best, and just. Even say that word. Let's say it was they did well in San Diego. Just saying the word San Diego over and over, and that can bring to mind that competition or that time when they felt really good. Or also they can go to a place that's not a competitive, but nothing to do with sports. Just if someone likes the beach, just say imagine the Matt being in some place they've been, a specific ocean or a specific beach that they really like, you know, like being in Hawaii or something on Maui on some specific beach there. And I call it kind of ocean breathing is a technique I use, where you just imagine a wave, and you can even, you know, just get a video of somebody. If you can't go to the beach, you can, you know, imagine it in your mind, or go on YouTube and just put in, ocean waves or something, and be able to watch the ocean waves as they come in. Take a deep breath in, and then as the wave goes out, take a deep breath out. And we could all try that together now. Just imagine a wave rolling in on the beach, coming up on the sand. Take a deep breath in, and then as the wave goes back out to sea, take a deep breath out, and imagine the wave is taking away all your stress, all the anxiety. One specific thought. Let's say they're worried about some specific tough situation coming up, or a difficult competition. As the wave goes out, just imagine the wave rolling out and kind of just handling that situation for them, and being able to get so that they can get through it. So each wave that comes up, it kind of like takes away another level of anxiety. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Does anyone else? I know Rob, are you still on the call? And Michelle, do you have any suggestions, any examples of clients you've had that have had anxiety or suggestions that you've used to get through anxiety?
I don't have any particular ones at this time.
Okay.
Other than, well, just grounding yourself, first of all. So let's say with the one athlete I work with, I tell her to feel her feet touching into the ground and then breathe deeply and to feel your breath going deep into your belly, et cetera. And that it tends to bring her back to the present a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good, Rob. Thank you. Yeah. And what sport was that you were working in?
Volleyball.
And that's in volleyball, of course, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Rob. I know that's your expertise. That's great. Yeah, that's a good one, too. So, yeah, just breathing. Feel your feet touching the ground. And then what was the second thing? Just breathing into your belly?
Well, yeah, deep breaths, but also to feel her feet pressing into the ground,
mm-hmm.
which tends to ground her, but it also takes your mind off, you know, the last play or something like that, that she might have just shanked a pass or blown a hit or something.
Mm-hmm.
So just it brings her back to the present by doing an active thing.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. And in terms of grounding, one technique I use a lot is I call it the redwood tree, kind of tree grounding, where you're, I don't know if you've ever seen, if you're in California here, some of you are, you've seen the redwood trees out here. And I guess, I don't know if there's redwood trees all over the country. I don't know, Dave, do you have redwood trees where you are? Or, no, you're in...
Nope.
But, you know, you can imagine a redwood tree, and it's an amazing thing that the redwood trees, they grow 360 feet into the air. They're huge, towering trees, and yet they're incredibly old, 2,000 years old. And yet they only have, the roots go down only about 6 feet into the ground. And you wonder, wow, how could a tree grow, you know, it's like stand 30 feet tall, some of these really old trees, and yet their roots only go down 6 feet into the ground. Well, it's because, of course, the trees never grow alone. They grow in groups. They grow and they support each other. So if underground, if you can imagine, it's kind of like this huge underground internet or huge underground connection system with all the other trees. So they're grounded, they're rooted well and solid under the ground, holding on to each other. And so that's a nice visualization for grounding that sometimes I'll use is imagine yourself as standing tall as a redwood tree. And that you can, stand, be grounded into the ground, and be as strong, and tall, and solid, and confident as a redwood tree. And that this allows you to, and then imagine your support system. You know that you're connected and rooted and grounded. With all the holding hands or reaching out, being supported by, and then have them imagine their support system, whether it's a coach or parents or spouse or other people in their life or anyone else that they're close to, and then feel grounded there, feel supported by all of that, so that when the redwood trees, when the rains come and the storms come and the fires, they can withstand all of that. And with athletes, the storms might be, ask them what their storm is. It might be, another competitor that they don't like or they fear, or it might be an injury that's coming or something that's tough that's happening in their, a tough time to get, a slump to get through in their sport. And imagine them, you know, grounded tall as a redwood tree, that they're standing tall and that they're solid underground and can withstand any of the stresses, any of the anxieties that happen in their life. So that's a great and if you look up, YouTube or somewhere, just, picture of a redwood tree, that would be something to have your athletes do also, just to imagine that they're really solid that way. So, yeah, does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a good technique, too. Yeah, Michelle, are you still there too?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. Yep, I'm here. I don't know what's wrong with my internet, but I seem to be on the call for about 2.5 minutes, and then I get kicked off.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I was just wondering if you had any techniques, or Adriana was bringing up the topic of anxiety, you know, and if you've had athletes that have anxiety or any techniques that you've used.
Yeah, well, I've noticed with the young set, the younger crowd, they definitely are experiencing a lot of anxiety in their personal lives.
Uh-huh.
And not being a psychologist and knowing what my limitations in all of this are, one thing that's worked for myself and for my own kids, and I just share this with my athletes, is at night, if you can just think about all of the things in your life that are going well and your accomplishments, just things that you're that are really working for you, it's almost like it creates like a different vibration in your body, and then you're able to fall asleep, and then, like you said, what you think about before you go to sleep, you dream about, and then so it allows them to fall asleep on a very positive note, and then when they wake up, before their feet even hit the floor, think about their intention for the day, whether it is to be like, for instance, it could be just mindful of their thoughts and how that's affecting their emotional state, and just give them techniques to, watch these thoughts come in, but then just slowly float away, and then replacing them with a positive thought so that they can just set an intention for the day. So it's not, they're not just like a flag in the wind, and every time the wind changes direction, you know, their moods change and shift. So it just gives them a bit more, allows them to be a little less messable with, if that makes sense.
Awesome.
Yeah, less messable with.
Yeah,
that's great. Thank you. Yeah.
So they end the day on a positive note, and they start the day on a positive note, and then before long, the periods of anxiousness diminish.
Yeah.
Throughout the day.
Awesome.
Right, that's a really good suggestion.
Yeah, they seem to like it because it puts them in control. And, they like that. They don't feel like they're just so susceptible to everything that, enters their life. It.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I agree, what you can, those are the two most important parts of the day, maybe is right before you go to sleep at night. Yeah, what you're thinking about tends to be what you'll dream about, where your subconscious mind goes. And so if you can have the athlete, and that's where your MP3 can come in, your audio that you can create for the athletes. You can create one for, peak performance, like I talk about in the modules for this course. And you can also create many different kinds of audios, MP3s, for your clients. One for if a client has anxiety, then you can just have them, do a relaxation MP3 visualization that maybe doesn't have anything to do with sports. Because sometimes for some athletes, just thinking about their sport can get them a little anxious. So save that for, thinking about their sport for right before they're doing their training or their competition. You might want to create an MP3 or visualization right before they go to sleep that's something that they ask them what makes them feel calm or relaxed. It's important to ask the client that. Not, most of us are kind of relaxed. It's a great place to go to the beach and mm-hmm. water and all that is relaxing. But for a few people, a small number, maybe they've had a bad experience at the beach, or maybe they, had a fearful experience in the water when they were a kid or something. So, and they don't like the water, makes them anxious. So it's good to ask what place do you go to that makes you feel comfortable. It might be the mountains or a meadow or something else. So then you could just have them describe that place specifically where it is that they enjoy, and then have them imagine that place that they can, and then describe it in an audio for them so they can just go to sleep with that. So, yeah, Michelle, like you were saying, just be able to relax right as you're going to sleep, and then just or also some find out what their learning mode is. Some people are more visual. Some people are more auditory. If they're visual, they might like to visualize a scene, a relaxing scene somewhere in nature. Or if they're auditory, more word-oriented, they might like to just say a few words to themselves like that, you know, I'm grateful for what I did for today. Or I'm easily, you know, with each breath, take in a quality that you do want, and each breath out, take, you know, just let go. So you could do that kind of breathing meditation also. Just breathe in and, you know, take in, breathe in confidence, say, and then breathe out and let go of the stress. You know, just as you breathe in, say, I'm breathing in strength, and then as you breathe out, breathing out and letting go. So that's another good, easy meditation to do for people. And then afterwards, after you make them the audio or something, ask them, you know, get feedback and ask the client what worked best for you, or what do you suggest. And you know, maybe if they were not, most people would be responsive, but if they're not, then ask them what would be most helpful for you, and then just make them an audio that's, you know, with their request, what kind of works best for them. Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to just tell you a little bit more about meditation here, too. Hey, or Adriana, did that help answer your question?
Yes, a ton. Thank you so much.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. And I think you were saying, also asking if you did a first visualization for someone earlier, what to say after that to kind of, I think, you know, if you've done one kind of visualization and then you want to be able to continue with the client, you know, you can say things like these kinds of, you know, what we can do is with each session, each coaching session, go over whatever problems or issues you're working on. And then at the end of the session, I'll make you another new custom visualization, MP3 audio, that for the learning in this particular session, so that it's really customized for them. So one session they might be, you know, worried about, sometimes they're worried about getting too worried, you know, get anxious about, I'm worried that I'll get anxious. So you can make a visualization to help with that, to just be calming the mind and that everything's going to be okay. And another session, they might be talking about, you know, weightlifting and getting the technique right or something. And so you could make a visualization about that, about doing your technique properly. And another one, they might be upset about something else that's going on in their life, or not being able to sleep at night. So you can visualize, you know, do an audio just for sleeping well. So that's really good too. And then you might just make suggestions to a client too with anxiety. A lot of times people are not getting enough. They're worrying a lot. They're not getting enough sleep at night. So they're you know, wake up tired, and they end up drinking a lot of coffee or stimulants during the day to stay awake. It gets to be this unhealthy cycle. And then they're drinking coffee or Coke or, you know, soft drink, something in the afternoon to stay awake. And then they end up, because they've got all this caffeine or stimulants in the body, then they're not able to, you know, sleep well at night. And so it gets to be this vicious cycle. So if you can remind them to not, if you're going to have caffeine or coffee, something like that, to find out what time they go to bed. If they go to bed at, say, 10 o'clock, try to avoid stimulants, say, 6 to 8 hours before they go to sleep. so that they're you give themselves the best chance of being able to have a good night's sleep. And then you can start out the cycle much better in the morning, feeling good and not. And then suggest to people if they feel tired during the day because they're not getting enough sleep, then it's best to just take a nap. You know, what a new concept! I should take a nap, but you know, for a power nap for what's that?
It's a siesta.
Yeah, it's a. Siesta, right, yeah, it's like the Mexicans always used to take a nap from, you know, 1 o'clock. Maybe they had a good thing going there, I think, when it's hot and right after lunch. If you're, I think it helps to just do power naps of, say, 15 minutes or so, 10 to 15 minutes, or 20 minutes, and then that can really help revive you so you don't have to use those minutes of the caffeine and stimulants to stay awake. And if you get more tired later on in the day, just take another 15-minute nap kind of thing. That way it's a much more natural way of giving yourself a break. Some people are so anxious, so they can't, you know, feel like they can't take a nap, and so another suggestion is just go for a walk. Go for a 10- or 15-minute walk which can help you to just, and when they're walking, do like what I call a walking meditation. So we're talking about meditation. So just walk and look and see what, you know, use, bring in all five senses. So see how many things can you, what's the sky look like, the clouds in the sky, and notice the birds, what are the sounds around, and just watching and then noticing their breathing, noticing how their feet feel as they're walking. Just try to notice everything as opposed to just being obsessed with thoughts, because we get really crazy about, you know, obsessing about a certain situation. And so if you can get into the five senses and really experience that walking, it can help to ease the mind. So, let's see, I wanted to go over a few things with meditation. And does anyone else have a question or anything that they wanted to ask too? Okay, I wanted to mention that, you know, there's a couple of areas of meditation to be aware. There's two different basic kinds. One is what I call sort of a focused, a concentrative meditation, where if you can think of a lens of a camera, you know how the macro lens would be where you really focus down on something. That would be like focusing in on one particular thing. So in this type of meditation where you're concentrating, you can, you know, place your attention on one particular thing, on an object, a single object of focus. And it could be a sound, you know, that you're thinking of. It could be a song. It could be the sound of birds if you're outside. Or you could actually, you know, people can actually get CDs of, you know, sound of the ocean or sound of nature of some sort of birds. It could be a mantra, something that you say to yourself, one or two phrases. It could be like five phrases that someone creates and that they say them over and over again. It could be your breath, just focusing on I'm breathing in and then breathing out, and you could say like just one word with the breath in, say, you know, breathe in, and then as you breathe, or I like the one as you're breathing in, say I'm breathing in strength and I'm breathing out stress, something like that, or just breathing, just saying I'm breathing in, breathing out. It could be a physical object, like a candle, you know, just having someone light a candle and then just focusing on that candle. There's something about looking into a candle that's very relaxing and actually changes the brain. And so this meditation, this kind of meditation is very deliberate. And it can be also, you know, since we're talking about sports, it could be actually imagining doing your sport, a specific part of the sport. If you're doing volleyball, you know, like you are, Rob, you know, imagine, you know, the the hitters in the front, just hitting, you know, getting the ball over the net, just and targeting it just in the right spot where there's no other players to cover it on the other side, and just seeing that over and over again, or doing a really good serve, and if it's you know, the sport of golf, you know, seeing yourself really directing your ball exactly where you want it to go, or if it's triathlons, being able to, you know, see yourself on the bike, just really pushing the, maybe it might be on the bicycle, you want to think of the round, you know, not just pushing down on the pedals, but going all the way around the pedals. Or Adriana, if it's like weightlifting, you know, focusing on a particular form, you know, really having really good form with lifting a weight. I know, Michelle, you're working on, let's say if it's mountain biking, being able to go up a hill really well, and or going down a hill and being able to just negotiate the turns, just focusing on that one part, maybe one difficult part to focus on. And Dave, let's see, what sport are you working on right now with clients? I know you might be muted at this point, but I forgot. Dave's working on various different sports as well. I think if it's baseball, you know, pitching, being able to fit, to do a real specific pitch and get the ball right in the zone. So all those things are, you know, focusing on a specific object or an image or visualization of what you want. So concentration meditation, it includes visualization, visualizing yourself doing something well. And so this kind of meditation is very deliberate, and you try to take all your extraneous thoughts and emotions, just letting them fade away or be filtered away, and the concentration is entirely fixed on that one object of focus. And so this type of meditation it helps you with mental acuity and with focus and being able to apply your focus to one situation. It helps you get really good at one thing, at what you're doing. And it really helps you with overcoming distraction and to build patience. So that's a type of a concentrative meditation that, you know, that's the type we've been, we work on a lot with our athletes. And if an athlete has a hard time just visualizing or concentrating on, meditating on a particular object, like or visualizing seeing their sport, then you could have them start with something simple, like just looking into a candle or saying a mantra or a phrase, or have them try that first, or just close their eyes and have them imagine the sounds around, and then work on those, on the different senses first, and then they'll be able to, you know, focus more. Then have them work on a specific aspect of the sport. Not the whole, not the their sport as a whole, but just thinking of one specific action. So that's concentration meditation, or where you're really focusing your attention. And then the second type is more of an open, a kind of awareness meditation. And this is where, if you have your camera, you know, we're back to our camera, thinking instead of having a macro lens or focused lens on one particular thing, now we're opening up the lens to a wide angle lens, so that you can see everything. It's like a wide angle panoramic lens of our brain, of our awareness, of our consciousness. So this type of meditation can also be called like kind of open meditation, or it's non-directive, where you're encouraged to just observe and be present without focusing on one particular thing. So so this is really good for you know, like when we were talking about anxious clients being able to go to sleep at night, or just be calm during the day, or when you're waking up. It's like you're resting in an awareness of yourself, you know, without any guidance, just letting your mind be relaxed, and you're relaxed without having to exert any kind of particular, without having to do anything or focus on any object at all. So this awareness meditation, sometimes it could be called open meditation. It's often associated with the idea of the mind being, you can think of like your mind being an open sky. And so you're looking at the cloud, your mind is the sky, and you're looking, observing clouds. And those are your thoughts. Your thoughts are the clouds that are passing along in your field of awareness. And so think of it that way, so that your thoughts, as they go by, you're just observing them without any judgment, and just noticing what drifts past you. And there's a lot of history of this sort of meditation, and you know, Zen Buddhism and other areas. It's been practiced for thousands of years. And I think the concentrative meditation is the one that, more like visualization, that's more modern, and more something that people are doing now. And so I think it's good to be able to practice both. You want to be able to focus, have your mind be that macro lens and focus on a specific target or object or sound or an image. And then also that's to be able to say do a specific task. And then you also need your mind to be able to at times to relax and to have that wide angle lens and have that open awareness. And so those two, and so that you can relax and recover. That's really good for recovery after your sport. Doing that. And then there's a third type, which I call sort of mindfulness meditation, which is kind of, it's like if the concentration meditation is like our macro lens or focused lens, and then the open awareness is the wide-angle lens, then mindfulness meditation is sort of in between. It's like our standard lens in between. So mindfulness, it could be sort of it's halfway between concentration and awareness, and it's balancing those two. So you can have techniques from both. So you can choose an object of focus, maybe like you're doing a particular sport, and then you can focus. You can also, be focused on this object, but also having an awareness of things going on around you, and with non-judgment and just acceptance. And so, like in something like a sport like basketball would be a good example, where at certain times you want to focus on the target of getting the ball in the basket, but you also need that open awareness of what all the other players around you and what they're doing, and how they're moving. So you want to go back and forth. Almost your lens is going back and forth between that concentration and focus on one particular thing, and then opening up to the people around you. So having that, you can focus, but also remain aware, and aware of that the sensory input and your perceptions, as well as be aware of your emotions and your thoughts. The key is that you can be aware of your thoughts, but without judgment, without being carried away by those thoughts. Still remain attentive to the object of your focus. So it's kind of like learning to play the piano. Sometimes you learn the right hand, and then you learn the left hand playing, and then you put both hands together to play a song. And so in this way, if you learn the concentration meditation, which is also includes visualization, then you'll be able to do you know, work on a specific task. It's good for that in sports, or being able to to learn something new. It's great, especially in a game, a competition. And with athletes, they want to be able to use that concentration meditation, right, say right beforehand, to focus on performing really well. Then maybe, let's say, in volleyball, Rob, you're working with athletes and they're out there playing, and then it's time to rest and they're on the bench. That's the time they want to use maybe the open, more awareness meditation of just sitting back and relaxing and letting your mind just drift without any judgment, so that you have this time to recover. Both areas, it's good to be able to do both. And then when they're in the game, let's say playing volleyball, you want to be able to focus on hitting the ball when it comes right to you and targeting it toward the right person, but then also be aware of your team members around you that can to find out where you are in space and how to adjust to them. So those are kind of three types of meditation you can help your athletes with: concentration meditation, and then more open awareness, and then all three together, mindfulness meditation. And then the benefits of that are just tremendous. It's good that, Adriana, you were talking about anxiety, and meditation can really help with reducing anxiety and being able to calm your thoughts. And what it does in the brain is that there's a part of the brain called the amygdala, which is the habit brain that tends to wander. It tends to go to a specific thing and go back to our old habits. It calms that part, the worry part of the brain, so calms it from wandering to a more sustained focus. And so so you have more of a self-aware brain instead of just a brain that's, is just always doing its old habits. And also with the relaxation, when you're doing a kind of relaxation meditation that's open awareness, it calms that fight or flight system in the body, that adrenaline response that we tend to have. And people who are anxious, even if there isn't something that's, immediately, there's no immediate threat, people who are anxious tend to have that fight or flight response a lot of the time. Even to just a perceived threat or something that happened in the past or something that might happen in the future. And so worrying a lot more than necessary. And so it's that cortisol response to chronic stress. So if you can help people to just do a simple breathing exercise and, meditate on a word or a sound or an image, several times a day, even just for 1 minute, you can reduce that oxygen consumption and respiratory, your breathing comes down, your blood pressure goes down, you improve your blood flow and immune function too, because people tend to get sick. Athletes have a chronic problem with getting sick too much, especially toward major competitions, so you can help them to relax without having any issues with getting sick and being able to just be really healthy throughout. So those are some. Anyone have a response or any questions about those kind of three types of meditation, or how you might, any ideas about how you might, different situations you might use those in with your athletes? I don't know. Can you hear me all? I'm not sure if, and I know that we started a little bit late. I apologize for that. So it might be, it's time. It might be people that are having to go back to work at this point. So I just wanted to share those three types with you. Also, Michelle, you mentioned gratitude, and that's really important to have. That's another type of. Oh, hello. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if people could hear me. Yeah. Any Can you think of situations where you might use, you know, the close, the sort of concentration meditation, you know, focusing on a specific thing versus the more open awareness, relaxing? Anyone?
Well, I can think of lots as far as volleyball, different techniques you're going to use, like serving. You know, you've got control of the ball at that one time. You're the only person controlling the ball. So you want to do specific things, like feel your feet press against the floor, pick your target out in your mind, and then feel your hand contact and follow through. So those are all things you can practice mentally, for sure. Cool, man.
Yeah. Great, exactly. Pick out one specific thing and have them focus on that, and then we're focused on three things, like you said, or two or three things, like feet against the floor, and then you said, wait, your hands on the ball, right?
Contacting the ball, and also you're tossed as you serve. I mean, there's so many different aspects to it, but it's important just to pick one thing and sort of master that and then go to the next, as far as my experience goes, become a awesome server.
Yeah, exactly. Just that one particular skill is amazing. And then just, you know, when it comes to the game, a lot of times just in a competition, you could have them try just focusing on a calm mind, or find out what each athlete is different, too. It's good to, you know, find out which what things work for them and try things out maybe before the big game. So thinking, you know, some people might just think, you know, a calm mind, and just being able to calm their mind will help them to put it all together. So that they just calm the mind to be able to, there's that automatic response that's already ingrained in their mind of how to do the right serve. And sometimes just getting their mind out of the way is the best thing. And another athlete might think, you know, it helps to just focus on one thing, you know, targeting the ball in one particular direction. So you can ask your athletes what can help them the most to feel calm and to perform well. And then you might want to do a visualization right before a game to help people to just feel confident inside. Sometimes just your voice too. If you make them a MP3 or just you're talking with athletes, if you're working with a whole group, just them getting used to your voice can be very calming. Hearing that over and over again. I know I've made my athletes MP3s, and they realize just turning on the MP3 and hearing my voice helps them so much, regardless of what I'm saying. Just that they're hearing this familiar, calm voice that just makes them feel like everything's going to be okay, and that my voice, they associate that with confidence and with self-assurance and all. And with that self-sufficiency that they can do this. So it's that sort of familiar sound. So, yeah. All right, great. Well, let's see. Anyone else, Michelle or Dave? Adriana, you think of situations where you could use those different kind of meditations? Concentration versus kind of open awareness meditation?
Michelle here. I think with the more focused concentration meditation, that would be good in terms of learning a new skill. And awareness could be used when the athlete, say, just before the competition, if they're feeling really nervous or anxious and you want them to have a calm and focused mind, they could do some of that awareness meditation. You know, maybe not just before their event, because you probably want to keep them at a certain arousal state, but, you know, maybe half an hour beforehand, so that it would just kind of be part of their pre-competition warm-up plan.
Uh-huh. Great, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's good to be able to have these different tools in your toolbox so that you can use different types of meditations depending on what the situation is. Yeah, and you can create your own kind of meditations along the way, too. Some of your athletes might have their own technique, something you hadn't even thought of. I know when I work with younger athletes, like 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, it's funny, they come up with all kinds of things I haven't heard of before. You know, like this one baseball player who was 10 years old, was really smart, and he just said, well, I like to imagine that I'm the ball, and I'm flying through the air. And then, you know, I'm the ball that's going right into the strike zone. And then when he's up at bat, he says, I imagine that I'm the bat. I'm the bat, and I'm swinging, and I'm hitting it just right. I had never thought of that myself, and I thought, wow, that's really creative. So it oftentimes it's good to ask your athletes what they are already using or what they think of, what they can think of, too, before you and then if they haven't used what they're already doing that works well, and then you can add to it with your own techniques. So great, yeah. As a thanks. Is it Adriana or Dave still on? Can you think of
the
situation? Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Adriana.
Okay. Personally, I've kind of used some mindfulness when I find myself making mistakes. Technique with weightlifting, where you get caught up in like continuing to make the same mistake, and then that's when I kind of just, you know, take a break, walk away, breathe a little bit, and then kind of collect myself again with all those negative thoughts of not being able to hit the lift I wanted, I guess.
Okay, great. I think somebody's got their cell phone on that keeps getting texts. maybe you could. But anyway, making mistakes, so that's a good one to be able to recover from. Yeah, kind of regroup. And so mindfulness can, if you can just kind of take yourself back and you take a break, it gives your mind a break to do something different rather than, because what happens when we make mistakes, it's tend to, the mind replays that mistake over and over again, and then the body follows those mental instructions. So if you can create a new movie in your mind, be able to see something different, see yourself doing it correctly, would be a focused meditation, or taking a few deep breaths and, like you say, just collect yourself and, you know, just think of something else. Go someplace else in your mind, or think of a positive thought, a mantra. Think of or just relax, focus on your breath. Then it kind of clears your mind. Yeah, breathing is a great way of clearing your mind of that from that mistake and being able to recover quickly. And it's kind of like taking a shower real quickly, a mental shower, and cleansing off all that bad energy, and being able to say, I can do this. I can go back and saying to yourself, no big deal. Just one small thing. I'm moving forward. And I'm going to what I, and then get back into, you know, visualizing how to do it well. So, great. Thanks, Adriana. Yeah, that's good. Dave, I don't know if you're still there, I think, or if, Dave, if you're there, you can let us know what kind of things you might use this for. I think he might have left. Had to see a client. So great. Well, it's really good session with all of you. And if you What maybe we could just say, go around and say, what was the most helpful nugget today, piece of information that was helpful for you, and how you could use this, and then we'll, and also we'll remember next week we'll do another session, another call on August the 13th on Thursday. If you could put that on your calendar, 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 Eastern. So what was the most useful thing for you, each person, if you want to say who's on the call?
For me, Rob, it was the distinction between the focus and the open awareness kind of meditation.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, two types, yeah.
Then also to talk about the amygdala, that useful
information. Yeah, sometimes it's helpful to tell your athletes about the, or for you to have your own understanding of the amygdala part of the brain. That's that, the old habit part, that's the worrier part. That can, we want to be able to calm that part down, and meditation can really help with that. Yeah. Okay, great. Michelle or Adriana, what was most helpful for you?
It was Adriana. For me, it was definitely the first part of the anxiety, because I need help in that area. But even with anxiety, just learning the different ways that she can use meditation as well. So.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah, it's a really helpful tool, I think. Any, yeah, good. Is Michelle still there? Or Dave? Anything that was most useful for you? I think Michelle said their internet's kind of going off and on. So, good. All right. I think Dave might have left for a client. So, yeah, really good talking with all of you. And I'll send you that, got that here on my to-do list. I'll send that evaluation or, you know, sort of client intake, how to do an assessment with the client when they first come in, kind of thing. So I'll put that in the an email and also on the website there under resources. I'll send you to that link. So, yeah, thank you so much for everyone for joining us, and great call. And, well, sorry about the delay at the beginning, technical difficulties. We'll get those worked out here. And talk to you all next week, next Thursday at the 13th at the same time and at 9 o'clock Pacific. And we'll talk more about building self-confidence and other topics that you think of. You can just email them to me as well. Yeah, if you have questions, thank you for, you're always welcome to email me questions, too, and then I'll answer them on our next call, too.
Okay,
well, thanks, everyone. Have a good day. And,
you too.
Good luck practicing your meditation. Do it with yourself as well as your clients. Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.
All right, bye now.